Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Earnings season, both here and overseas, is set to ramp up in the next couple of days. But while that's happening, there's still a lot of uncertainty regarding U.S.-China trade talks, which some analysts argue might be more important or crucial to determining where markets head in the near future. And while the U.S. recently reported, news outlets recently reported that the U.S. and China were close to hammering out an interim trade deal, Beijing poured some cold water over that after they announced that they are still requesting follow-up trade talks to try and hammer out some details before they agree to sign off on any trade pact. To assess what kind of impact this might have on markets and also to get their gauge of the temperature ahead of earnings season ramping up, we're joined now on a prime time by Ms. Margaret Yang. She's a market analyst at CMC Markets to help us get a better gauge of what the temperature is like given all of these shifting developments in terms of market sentiment and also ahead of these earnings releases. Margaret, thank you so much for joining us and good afternoon once again.
Hi, good afternoon, JP.
So, Margaret, as we mentioned, it's been a rather topsy-turvy last 72 hours. It seems just when we thought the U.S. and China were coming to a partial trade deal, we saw Beijing warning to keep the champagne on ice. In fact, They've also said that that perhaps this is not the time to rejoice and that they're looking to hammer out some deals before they sign off on anything. Do you think Beijing is right, though, that markets perhaps celebrated a little too fast, and hence why we saw markets closed mixed in this session today?
Yes, I think that right now the talks between U.S. and China is really dominating the market sentiment, and everything surrounding is like every movement, every market is looking at the progress of this trade talk. And in the last one or two days, we have seen that the trade talk seems to be moving two steps forward and then one step back, as China says that it needs more talks to finalize the details before inking on a deal with President Trump, maybe in a November APEC meeting. And that actually creates a lot of uncertainties for investors and traders, which the market dislike. And investors are now becoming very cautious about this, and that could probably explain the broad retracement of Asian equities today. We saw that the Greater China market, Shanghai, Shenzhen, and Hong Kong are all trading lower, and also Singapore market opened high, but now also give up all the gains. This has something to do with global economy, as we see that this cyclical slowdown in global growth was deepened by this trade war and destructive trade tariffs. So if anything goes wrong in the trade talk, we may see the tariffs rising and business sentiment, investment sentiment, everything will be dampened again. And that is really bad.
No doubt it must have been a very difficult or very topsy-turvy last couple of days for market analysts like yourself, Margaret. Can you give us an idea of just how challenging or maybe even frustrating it's been for you to track these changing market sentiments, especially after this back and forth between China and the U.S. that hints at progress or maybe lack of progress with regards to this trade deal? How is this? How challenging has it been for you as a market analyst?
It's really challenging because especially on the last Thursday and Friday, we saw that the market actually made a few turns within 24 hours. So within 24 hours, there are quite a number of shifts, and the market can spike up and down like 1% within 10 minutes. And it's all news-driven. That means retail investors or analysts like us, we have no insider news. We have no idea what's happening. So I think risk management is really important for day traders. And for investors, I think this will keep a lot of investors away and take a wait-and-see approach and wait for the dust to settle before they can enter into the market again. So right now, I think there's pretty a lot of uncertainties. But on the bright side, we are also seeing that because of trade uncertainty, a lot of emerging market equities, including Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Singapore, their valuation has been suppressed to a relatively low level that is about one standard deviation below their seven-year average. So this actually makes also create opportunity for long-term investors to cherry-pick the gems in the market and wait for some positive progress in a trade talk. And basically, I am cautiously optimistic about November APEC summit because right now, U.S. and China, they are both under increasing economic and political pressure to close a deal as soon as possible. Even a partial interim deal will be extremely welcomed by investors and business owners worldwide, and the damage from a further escalation of this trade war is not good for either side, U.S. and China. So nobody can really bear this consequence for long term.
Fair enough. We're still speaking to Ms. Margaret Yang, market analyst over at CMC Markets. Margaret, as we mentioned a while ago, earnings season really starting to heat up. We're expecting the first of the STI members to release tomorrow. But before that, bank earnings in the U.S. are set to really kick earnings season up a notch later on, with about four banks set to release earnings later on. You take a look at bank earnings a little more closely than most other market analysts. And we've noticed that in the banking sector, at least globally, more banks are hitting at possible job cuts, staff reductions. Is the name of the game now to grow earnings cost reduction versus, say, growing markets and perhaps looking at trading gains because of how volatile markets have been? Is that the name of the game now for banks in terms of trying to maintain or trying to grow their margins at the moment?
Yes, I think for banking sector-wise, it is now more important to take a very conservative and defensive approach because we are in a low interest rate environment again, and there could be a few more rate cuts by the Federal Reserve next year. So this low interest rate environment is squeezing banks' lending margins, and therefore they have to cut cost in order to support the profit. And another thing to explain this job cutting by global banks is the technology development. I think more operational and routine jobs in the banking sector will gradually be replaced by robots, automation, and artificial intelligence. And this is a long-term trend that is not going to, this irreversible long-term trend. And it does not only impact the banking sector alone, but probably the broader financial sector as well. So JP, maybe 3 years later from now, you are going to speak to a robot advisor from CMC Markets instead of Margaret.
I really hope that's not the case though, Margaret. But looking at that, we are looking at job cuts and cost reductions from some of these global banks, but we haven't really heard a lot in terms of cost reductions from the banks here, at least in Singapore. Does that mean that the outlook for earnings, at least in Singapore, when the big three start to release earnings in the next 2 weeks, do you think it's actually going to be a better outlook, or are you not holding your breath for earnings to impress from the local financials?
I think local banks, they are well positioned to withstand the short-term market cycles and volatilities. And job cutting is not a tradition for Singapore local banks, which is good for us. And for this upcoming earnings season, I think that the double-digit growth of banks' profit we have seen in the past 3 or 4 quarters is now coming to an end because of a weakness in the broad economy as well as lower interest rate environment that just kicked in last quarter. And we also see that the loan growth rate will decelerate to about 5 to 6% for the three banks. And a lot of people they have concern about banks' net interest margin as interest rates are trending lower, but we would probably not see that happening impact on third quarter earnings because the translation from lower interest rate to banks' earnings, they come with a lag. So the interest rate increase last year will still reflect in third quarter earnings. So I think for this quarter, banks will still deliver positive earnings growth, but at a slower pace, maybe higher single digit rather than double digit.
All right.
And also, I think wealth management fee will be a highlight, as in the last 3 months, we have seen growing demand for wealth management service in Singapore.
All right. We're still speaking to Margaret Yang, market analyst at CMC Markets. I'm glad I'm speaking to Margaret and not a bot at the moment. Margaret, before we let you go, I'm glad you're here actually with us because I wanted to get your gauge, and you're one of the few analysts who can actually talk to me about how some of these tech IPOs have done in 2019. It's not been the greatest of years for tech IPOs. We've seen a stark change in sentiment pre and post listing. A lot of them actually not doing well when they went public on Wall Street. We even saw the likes of WeWork, for one, scrapping IPO plans. Before, it seemed investors were a lot more tolerant of these tech IPOs in terms of trying to turn a profit. But is it fair to say that investors are becoming more and more demanding of tech firms and their ability to actually get to profitability? Mm-hmm. And is this because the market sentiment is getting so unpredictable? Mm-hmm. unpredictable and so tense, and thus profits seem to be mattering more to investors than usual. What's your take on that?
Yes, I think you've made a very valid point. For example, this year we saw the big IPO from Berg, which on the first day of trading was under the water and being under the water for quite some time. So investors are more demanding for tech companies to make a profit so that they can monetize on their technology. And this is likely to be the trend going forward. And also, don't forget, all these trade uncertainties, global slowdown, are making tech companies more and more difficult for them to generate a profit and expand their market, because of rising protectionism globally and many challenges.
And finally, Margaret, just very quickly, do you think it's advisable for investors then to get in during an IPO or to wait for the sell down before they actually entertain getting into some of these newly listed companies?
It really depends on the company, whether they are solid or they are built on some kind of phantom and future promises without able to monetize on their technology. So it's really case by case. For myself, I would tend to stay away and wait for the dust to settle before joining. So just study the previous cases of Xiaomi IPO in Hong Kong and Uber, then you will know that if you purchase an IPO, it's not a guaranteed return. It's not guaranteed you will make a profit on the first day of trading.
Interesting.
So stay cautious.
Interesting insights on how to approach IPOs. We'll have to leave it there, though. But Margaret Yang from Market Analyst at CMC Markets, we thank you so much for joining us today on Primetime. Appreciate the time and good afternoon.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.